Welcome to Lost River Legends. Our motto, Ex Tenebris, is Latin for out of the shadows. We attempt to understand the complex world around us and bring light to subjects hidden in darkness. We explore paranormal topics with guests from all around the world. Now welcome your Lost River Legends hosts, James and Brett. We hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome, everybody, to Lost River Legends. We're glad that you could join us. My name is Brett, and I'm one of the hosts of the show. Tonight, we have a really exciting show planned for you. Tonight, we're going to be talking to a gentleman from my hometown. His name is Stephen Settlemeyer. And James and I sit down with Stephen and discuss his business, which is called Davinia Water. And Davinia Water is a locally owned and operated business by Stephen and his family. Davinia Water is known for its pure water. They claim that it's 1,000% more filtered and more pure than even the bottled water that we get from the store. So we're glad that we're able to have an opportunity for James and I to sit down with Stephen to discuss his techniques for purification, the importance of clean water, and more importantly, the importance of Davinia Water, which is completely different water than any other water on Earth. I first heard about Davinia Water and Stephen from Richard Serrett's podcast, Conspiracy Unlimited. Stephen was on Richard's show earlier this year, and I was on the road traveling, and I actually heard this podcast, this episode, and it just really interested me more than almost anything else at that time. Mostly because it's a local business, which is here in my hometown. And sad to say, I hadn't heard about it quite yet. But after time, I changed that, and James and I decided to reach out to Stephen and his business and request to sit down with him. And he gave us a tour of his operations and his plant, how they do what they do with the water that they sell, and the story behind how he got into Davinia Water. And it was quite evident after the first few minutes of the episode that both James and I were pretty blown away, because Stephen is he's a scientist, he's an engineer, he is an inventor, he is just incredibly smart, and he obviously knows what he's talking about. And with that being said, we want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We hope everyone has safe travels and has plenty of time to spend with family and friends. Again, we appreciate your support, we appreciate you listening. And here is the show. Enjoy.
All right. Thank you for joining us on Lost River Legends. We're here at Davinia Water with Stephen Settlemeyer. And he's been very gracious to be able to give us a tour and to walk us through what makes Davinia Water different. Stephen, if you could take a couple minutes and just introduce yourself, your background, how you got into this, how this idea came to fruition.
I would love to. Thank you for having me on your podcast, by the way. We enjoy it quite a bit. So my background was, I started out very young as a scientist and a theoretical mathematician. I started working for the government when I was 15, 16 years old in theoretical mathematics and spaceflight mechanics for Martin Marietta. And I stayed with them for a while. I was the youngest ever to get a National Science Foundation grant where we started Arctic and Alpine research, which was actually the beginning of the global warming. We were studying how the Arctic environment was changing due to the atmosphere. So that was the precursor of that. And in fact, I was so young, I couldn't drive myself. I had to have someone drive me to the research facility. And it was with great joy when I hit 17 that I could actually drive myself around. So I had been working in Martin area and was going to Colorado School of Mines. And somewhere in my 20s, early 20s, actually I was 21, I became a manager at Martin Marietta in a division called Martron Systems, where we made the black boxes for airplanes so that we could record everything that happened to it. That was a pretty high pressure job. And the problem with the defense jobs is when a Democrat was in, the jobs went away. When a Republican was in, all the jobs came back. And they would go up and down by 50 to 60% in the amount of workers that they hired. And I'd been going through that for 6-7 years myself. And I'd gotten tired of seeing layoffs and rehirings and that sort of thing. And my boss asked me to start laying people off. I didn't want to because I was young and they were in their 50s and 60s and they had families. And so I said, if I quit, what happens? He said, well, you'll buy someone's little bit of time for a couple months or whatever. I said, okay, I'll quit. And so I quit to the consternation of my ex-wife. And about 2 months later, my boss committed suicide because he had to start laying people off, and they were all his friends that he had known for 20 years there. So I started working for a company called Conrad Corporation and started doing scoreboards at the Denver Nuggets in Denver, Colorado. And I started doing... they were going to open the arena. They didn't have any chance of opening it. They had some problems with the electronics. And so they hired me, gave me a book, and took off, hoping that I would get blamed for the whole thing, I think. And I had it up and running, so I was kind of the golden hair of Conrad and Denver. And then within 2 years, Conrad came back and had me do the Olympics for him up in Montreal. Again, they were running into problems with it. I don't want to beat my own chest, but I saved the day for them. And they were looking at $1 million a day type of fine for it. So I put that in. And most of these were scoring systems to keep track of the games. Also the instant replays and the advertising systems. So then I made a proposal, took over Conrad for Denver. And then I took over Oakland and a few other cities for that. So I was selling advertising, doing the instant replays and the scoring systems. At that time, I came up with an idea to invent a new way to do these scoring systems because most of them were light bulbs back then. And in fact, I was the first one ever to get the Denver Nuggets come up with an LCD display for the shot clock. Shot clocks at the time were big, heavy things that weighed 200-300 pounds that sat on the floor. And I came up with one that was, oh gosh, probably 4 pounds at that. And it sat behind the backboard so the players could see it. So they actually loved that. and eventually I sold that business to the Denver Nuggets, the scoring systems. And I pursued the flat panel TV. In fact, I'm the forefather of the flat panel TVs that you see today. And we have an article framed around here somewhere that shows that back in the 80s, early 80s, I was talking about TV sets that would hang on your wall. They would be 4 foot, 5 foot big. They'd probably weigh 30 or 40 pounds, and you'd have a couple of screws that hold them into the wall. Everybody at that time thought I was nuts because TV sets back then weighed 800 pounds, literally. The JVC that came out was an 800 pound, and it was I think it was a 36 inch TV, which most people would think is tiny now. And so I then tried to pursue to get all the large corporations, RCA, GE, Intel, everybody to get into the big TV set business, the flat screen TV. And of course, you know what happens, it all went overseas. There was a big fight in front of Congress. So eventually I sold my patents overseas because no one here would do it. And I retired. Retired down to Phoenix, Arizona from Denver. My kids grew up, and this is where my wife comes in. She was a water snob, and we would go to a restaurant, and she would buy bottled water. And that drove me absolutely crazy. I said, why are you buying bottled water? It's tap water, you know, surrounded by plastic. You're paying $3, $4, $5 a bottle for it. And she said, well, can you get better water? I said, well, yeah, you probably can. So we bought a distiller that was made for hospitals. And when we talked to the people, we found out that the water was supposed to be for the patients, but the patients never got it because the doctors and nurses always drank the water because they knew how bad the water was in the hospital. And that's why they try to get you out of hospital in 2 or 3 days now, because of the recurrent illness that you have. You have something like a 40 to 60% chance of getting a secondary disease if you stay more than 3 days in the hospital. So they try to turn you out. I mean, if you have a heart attack, they do something to you and you're out 2 days later. And so they try to get you out of the hospital as fast as possible, mainly because of the water and the secondary infections. In fact, they don't even advocate people take showers anymore in hospitals. Most bathrooms, the showers are now turned off. They'll sponge bash you if there's anything else because of the problems with it, the Legionnaires' disease and everything else that's happened. So I bought this distiller for my wife. We installed it in the house and found out that it kept breaking down. And it broke down probably over a course of 3 years, 20 to 30 times. And we had done a contract with the people that they had to maintain it for 3 years, much to their chagrin. And the water was pretty bad down in Phoenix. So being an inventor, I said, there's a better way of doing this. And I had worked with some resonant chambers when I was younger for another company and thought, wow, maybe I could make a resonant chamber that would oscillate at a particular frequency and I would inject waves into it. It's a glass chamber and I inject waves into it so nothing touches the water. So along with my children who were probably 15 and 13 at the time, I built a device, ran out behind the garage, plugged a 100-foot extension cord into it, and peered around the corner. And the first one was made with a can of Campbell's soup beans surrounding the thing. And that was the shell that was around it. Parts out of a microwave oven, and we made one. And so that's how I got into the water business. Accidentally, maybe. People started drinking the water. We drank the water, and we were a little afraid of the water at first because it was dissolving plastics. And we were afraid that water that dissolved plastic might not be good for human beings. So what we did was, and my wife kept drinking it anyhow, we started raising fish with it. And the fish got really healthy. And we gave it to our dogs, and the dogs got really healthy. In fact, the dog from there is still alive today, and he's going on 19 years old now. And his life expectancy for his size is 13 years. So wow. He's still walking around. And this is a dog that had drank propylene glycol, and that kills every dog there is. I don't know if a dog's ever survived from it. We took him to the vet, and the vet said, well, you want me to put him down? I said, no, I didn't want to. And this was probably 10 years ago. And I said, no, you know, he was my kid's dog, and we grew up with him. He said, well, the only thing we can do is cut his stomach open, but that never works, or we can put him down. So, and the dog couldn't stand up. He was, you know, couldn't even get up. He was stumbling. And so we started feeding him the water little bit by little. And after about 4 days, he returned perfectly back to health again. and flush the propylene glycol out of his system. When we started noticing all these health effects for people that, and according to the FDA, I can't say it cures anything, so I'm not a doctor, not a medical doctor. We're not advocating that it cures anything. We're not advocating that it will help any disease. All we say is that we've noticed certain effects and people have reported it to us. And these are stories that people have reported to us or we ourselves have experienced. So we're not advocating any medical cure for anybody. So we noticed it started helping people. So we decided we'd start bottling it and selling it.
Well, that's quite a journey.
That's a long story.
It's great. It's great. It's good to know that background is there. You know, you're not just coming from left field here with this. You've got a background in developing technologies and in, you know, putting those to good use. And this seems like a pretty good a mission that you're on to elevate water. And the fact that people are reporting health benefits from it kind of shows that you're on the right track with it.
Yeah, we try to keep up. Water is very interesting. There's so much more to water than people can even begin to imagine. And I've been studying a lot of medical books, taking a couple of medical courses at Duke University, a few other medical places. And it is very interesting the need the body needs for water and for pure water. We don't get any of our minerals out of drinking water. We get it out of eating. A lot of people say, well, water strips minerals out of your body. That's not true. In fact, there's a clinical study that proves that that's not true. That's one of those old falsehoods. Your mother used to iron with, I don't know if your mother did, but my mother did, with demineralized or distilled water and told us not to drink it because it'd kill us. Well, the reason is they did it because tap water gums up their irons and makes them sticky and you can't iron with it. So they use demineralized or pure water. And for some reason, somebody said, well, if it does that to an iron, then it must do it to the human body, which is not true. In fact, there's a article that was published about a week ago in a magazine called The New Scientist, which is a monthly science journal. And it said, the story said, there's no reason to take supplements whatsoever. The supplements don't do anything for you. That you actually don't get any of the chemicals from the supplements into your bloodstream very well. Because I wrote a book on this too. Your body is built to use the enzymes in your stomach to break down proteins. And the proteins break down into amino acids. And those enzymes are taught to work on the proteins themselves, not on the amino acids. So when you take amino acids or things that are already broken down for you, your body doesn't really utilize them. And the minerals that your body does utilize are tied up into the proteins. They're tied, the magnesium, the calcium, you know, they're in the meats, they're in the vegetables, and our body's been taught to break those things down and extract those. When they're extracted already, they don't know what to do with them. They can't bind to them. A chemical reaction in a body might have anywhere from 3 steps to 20 steps. And it has to go through those steps to utilize something to bind to it. When you give it magnesium or calcium or those things, it doesn't do anything. For instance, to get your daily requirement of calcium from drinking water, even water that's laced with calcium, you would need about 10,000 bottles of it. You're kind of dead before you get to that 10,000th bottle if you can drink that much water in a day. So our bodies thrive on vegetables, meats, proteins that we eat. And your stomach, when you eat, the enzymes in there are active on a very narrow range. You know, your stomach is about 1.5 to 3 in an acid. In fact, your stomach is more acidic than your car battery. If you put the acid in your car battery, it'd eat through the car battery. In reality, it's that strong. But those are meant to break down the proteins. The proteins break down into the amino acids. They get transferred into your stomach, your duodenum, or duodenum, however you want to pronounce it, or whoever is pronouncing it at the time. And what they do is then those enzymes then help break them down further and carry it into your bloodstream. So they attach to different amino acids with different minerals in it. They attach to your stomach and carry it through. When that doesn't happen, when your stomach is not in the right acidic level and you have problems with it, then the proteins pass through because they're not broken down. Then they start hitting your gut, and that's when you get a leaky gut. And I don't know if you've heard the term leaky gut or not.
Yeah, I have.
Okay, that's how you get a leaky gut. Your stomach isn't working. It's not breaking things down. And then what happens, those proteins actually attach and they dry and crack all the little villi in your intestines and actually dry it out and they start cracking and the proteins go through. And when the proteins go into your bloodstream, then you've got real problems. You're supposed to have amino acids in your bloodstream, not proteins. And so what happens is that the amino acids properly go into the bloodstream. They go to the liver first, and the liver then breaks them down further and reassembles into the proteins they need. And proteins are kind of, since you do podcasts and you know audio, you know about compression and compression on video.
Yeah.
Well, that's what a protein is. It's actually the larger picture and made up of a bunch of subunits, and it's compressed into a protein. And a protein's really a carrier. And then the individual items that the body really wants are the amino acids. And so it unravels it. And you've heard of denatured proteins and that sort of stuff.
Yes.
And things are called denatured and that sort of stuff. Well, our body is the one who knows how to denature it. And it knows how to unravel it, untwist it. If it doesn't untwist properly, then the body sees that as a disease and it attacks it. And that's why anything that's denatured improperly is inflammatory. And of course, medicine now is calling all diseases inflammatory. Anytime something is inflamed, that's when the body, the autoimmune system responds to it. So our water is a little bit different than everyone else's water. We've changed the water. We've changed it on a molecular level, and it's also ultra pure, and it's unbuffered. And what's important about unbuffered is that it wants to change to whatever acidity that you want. If it wants to be alkaline, it'll go alkaline. If it needs to be acid, it'll go acid, acidic. And so when you swallow it, your stomach actually changes the water that you swallow, our water, to what it needs, makes it acidic, and then it helps digest food for you. And the worst thing you can do is drink alkaline water, especially before you eat, because what that does is neutralize those enzymes I told you about, and then you don't digest properly. And the enzymes work in a very narrow range. They work in a range from anywhere from 1.5 to about 3.5 for an acid, acidic environment. When they get outside of the acidic environment, the enzymes turn off. They don't work. So you aren't digesting your food. So our water is purposely unbuffered. So the body changes our water into whatever it needs. As versa vice, when you take other waters, it changes your body.
That's super fascinating. And it part of me wonders, is this the way that water was originally on this planet? Is this the way it was meant to be?
What a great question. What a great question. That's what started this whole thing. The study that this water has been studied at several universities. And one of the major questions we had is, what is water? What is water and what was water? Of course, we say H2O. As it turns out, that's not a very good thing to say, because H2O is two molecules of hydrogen and one of oxygen. However, here's the kicker. One of those hydrogens can be heavy. It can have an extra neutron in it, and that's called deuterium. Or both of them can have deuterium in it. So there's 9 forms of water. And when you talk about those 9 forms of water, it's exactly what you said. What was water used to be? Was it all heavy water? Was it all light water? Our bodies right now want light water. Oxygen can have 16 or 17 or 18 for an atomic weight. And all it means is that there's extra electrons in it. But oxygen can have 3 forms, and hydrogen can have 2 forms. So what you can do is you can have a hydrogen, oxygen 16, or oxygen 17, or oxygen 18. Or you can have a hydrogen and a heavy hydrogen, which is called deuterium. So you can have hydrogen, deuterium, O16, O17, or O18. Or you can have 2 deuteriums, O16, O17, or O18. And actually, what started a lot of this is that geophysicists started looking at what was the ratio of those things in the past. And when they can't carbon date anymore, they look at the ratio of the hydrogen atoms in the water in the cells, if it's still there, or how the cells formed, to tell them how old it is. So the answer is, no, water has not been the same all through the age of the Earth. And in fact, the paper we pulled up was by Lockheed Martin Marietta, Rensselaer Technology College in New York. They were looking at water on distant planets. And they didn't know what water would look like on distant planets. They had no idea. They didn't know if it might be H3O2, H4O2, HO8. You know, they had no idea. And here on Earth, our water has been formed because of the way the moon is, the sun is, the shield from the sun, the solar radiation that keeps out radiation from different suns, the solar influx, that sort of thing. And so they come up with a very special way called Raman spectroscopy, where they bombard the atoms with a laser beam, and then they look at the resonance. They look at how the bonds resonate with this laser hitting them. And so that's what's up on Mars and a few of the other places right now. And that's how they're recognizing that Mars had water, but their water was a little bit different than what our water was. So when people say, well, water is water, that's a very untrue statement. Water has many different forms. And some of the forms are healthy for you, and some of them are not so healthy for you. Heavy water kills you. Heavy water is the water that the people in nuclear fusion use to slow down the process of the electrons and the radiation, the alpha particles. And what happens is that in your body, heavy water slows down your bodily functions. And too much of it stops your bodily functions and you die. Your heart literally just stops. it can't operate on that water. Yet if I gave it to you, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference from that or a bottled water. It would taste the same to you.
Interesting. That's really fascinating. You know, they do talk about how, you know, water on a planet, that's going to support life. But you bring up an interesting point. Kind of life? And if you know, if it's the right fit,
that's exactly why
there's a lot more factors.
Yes, that's why they're very, very cautious about it. And that's why they say life, but they don't say human life, because they don't know what type of life. And there's probably a pretty good indication that the dinosaurs had a different water than we had. And that's why they grew the sizes and the longevity that they did. You know, we don't know. They're still looking at that. And of course, I'll ask you a question.
Sure.
How did water get here?
Oh, boy.
You ask the Indy scientist and he'll say the same thing. How did water get here?
Yeah, because we've got that whole matter can't be created or destroyed thing that's going on. And then we've got the cycle of how water, you know, goes from the ocean to land and back out to the ocean.
Right.
But yeah, as far as how it got here originally, and was every single one of those molecules here originally?
Right.
Who knows?
Exactly. Or did a big comet come and hit the Earth and vaporize? Well, if that happened, that thing would have had to been so massive that it would have knocked Earth out of its orbit. I'll tell you how I think how water got here. And a lot of scientists are now starting to think this too. The center of our Earth, we have a nuclear reactor, right? That's what's heating the Earth up. That's why we have volcanoes and magma and everything else. And it's been there for a couple billion years. And at first, the Earth did not have an atmosphere. There was nothing there. Well, when nuclear material decays, it decays down the periodic table. And it becomes uranium, then decays to lead, then it decays to oxygen, keeps decaying down to the lighter materials. In fact, that's the entropy, is where everything decays to the lowest state. Well, all of a sudden, you've heard of suns that generate massive amount of helium, right? And yes. Hydrogen. That's what fuels the nuclear reactions. Well, that little core of ours made hydrogen. That was one of the decay properties. Another decay property is oxygen. And both of those are gases. And so the core is making this hydrogen and oxygen, which then is migrating because of the lighter and because the Earth's spinning, it's actually migrating towards the surface. And at some point underneath us here, hydrogen and oxygen form, and they form water. And the water is forced out towards the mantle because of us spinning and slider. And so the Earth generated its own water.
I could buy that theory.
And as you very poignantly pointed out, matter is not created or destroyed. It's just changed into another form. Well, that's what happened. It went from heavy metals down to lighter, but it made more and more lighter and more oxygen. And if you do the mass calculations, there's no net change in mass.
Yeah, that's fascinating. You know, it's interesting, not to wax religious on this, but it's interesting that the story of the flood, that not only did the water come from the sky, but it also came out from the deep.
Right.
And so that kind of lends a little bit more credence to what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, because once the water gets there, then what happens is it starts evaporating. As it evaporates, it forms a shell around the Earth, right? It forms an atmosphere. We get an atmosphere, life can begin. and you probably know this, every major religion, water is holy to them. It's divine to them. They all hold it sacred.
Yeah, that's true.
And without water, you don't have life that we know of.
Yeah, it's really at the center of a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah. You know, in the Christian faith, they believe that you wash away your sins. Water washes away sins.
I think I remember you kind of bringing up that subject and talking about how there was a study with a monk and some water.
Oh, yeah.
Could you go into that?
Oh, yeah. One of the things that Dr. Russen Roy at Penn State University, who kind of invented material science in the United States, or was the forefather of it, wanted to know was about water. As all the major scientists have gotten older, they've all migrated towards water. If you understand water, you probably understand a lot about nuclear physics and the heavens and everything else. Very simple molecule. So Dr. Russen Roy decided he wanted to find what waters were changed. He went to Lourdes Waters in France to look at it. He went to a lot of healing waters and couldn't find any changes in the water. They looked like all the other waters on the face of the earth. So he set up a test, and he found a monk in Russia that was known for changing water, purportedly changing water. So he set him up. They got a satellite link and put some water in a container, in a beaker, in his lab in Pennsylvania. The monks in Russia, Dr. Russen Roy is in Pennsylvania. Started the monk praying via the satellite link, started measuring the properties of the water, and it changed. He could measurably see the water change, the nuclear properties of that water change, while the monk was praying. And they thought, oh, great, this is how water changes. The millisecond the monk quit praying, that water went back to normal. So I've been asked in the past, do you believe water, intent can change water? Yes, I do believe intent can change water. And I, you know, there's a lot of stories about it through the ages about how it's changed. But it doesn't mean it stays changed. It means that if you have an intent to pray over water, you better drink it really quick while you're praying over it.
Pray while you're drinking.
Or pray while you're drinking, that's right. You know, praying, and praying, they found out that they set up a blind study. They had a bunch of people pray for somebody in a hospital. And they, you know, some people prayed for this person, some people prayed for that person. And then other people prayed, but there was no people involved. And then other people had nobody praying for them. It was a blind test. And what happened was they found out that the people that were prayed over actually healed faster and got out of the hospital much faster than the ones that nobody prayed for. And they actually found out that prayer changes it. And yes, I believe the human spirit, the human soul, whatever we are, we can physically change properties of materials by our intent, our wishes. And this is how you heard of, I can't remember his name right now, the guy who took pictures of water. And while he was taking pictures of water, people would either yell at it or scream at it or pray over it or whatever. And it was oriented or not disoriented. And he could tell the properties of the water by taking pictures of it. And so, yeah, you can change water, but there's nothing there to prevent it from changing back. And this is where Divinia came in, because we believed that we had changed the water and it was a permanent change. So we went to the University of Pennsylvania, and we had Dr. Russell Roy study it and start looking at the energy levels in it. And we found out that it was a permanent change, and it stayed changed. That's why we went to other universities. We went to Loyola Marymount University in L.A. and did a concrete test. We found out that this water would cure concrete in 4 days to the same strength as normal water would cure in 28 days. It came to four, would cure to 4 KSI in 4 days, which means you could start drilling on it or building or whatever you need to. And at the end of the 28 days, it was about 50% stronger than the normal concrete was. And it just kept going. We don't know how high it went because the professor was having a hard time imagining that water would do that. We've made all sorts of things with this water and found out every chemical reaction is 4 to 10 times faster than normal. So, and we have identified what the change is in the water that does that. Hence, that's the reason why we have to bottle it in glass, because glass is an inactive substance to it. Plastic, it will eventually dissolve plastics. But you probably know about the nanoplastics that are found in water now, right?
Yeah. Quite a bit of nasty stuff out there.
Yeah. And there's now a study that came out of Europe that they looked at men from 8 different countries that drank water out of plastic bottles, and all 8 showed that they had plastic in their gut and in their feces now. And so they're so loaded with plastic now that you're pooping it out now. And that's how loaded your body is with it anymore.
So are there any indications that with Divinia water, is there any... Are we able to expel any of those nanoplastics?
Yes, it looks like it dissolves the nanoplastics. When my wife was drinking this, we did urine tests on her and me, and she went in, and the doctor looked at her specific level of urine, and he goes, "My God, you should be in a coma. You are expelling so many plastics and heavy metals in your body. The only reason we ever see this is someone who's in a coma, who's not functioning." He said, "You're off the charts. So you're expelling all sorts of heavy metals." The other reason that we know it works is there was a gentleman that was exposed to a nuclear accident out at INL.
So I just wanted to put a quick pause on the show, and we'll continue in just a moment. I just wanted to talk about the INL that Stephen is referring to. The INL stands for the Idaho National Laboratory. The Idaho National Laboratory sits about an hour west of Idaho Falls, Idaho. They store spent nuclear fuel there. They develop different energy capabilities and research. It's one of the nation's leading centers for nuclear energy and storage. A lot of different things going on out there. We plan on doing some shows or a show on the INL before too long. There's a lot of surreptitious things out there, a lot of secrets, cover up and whatnot. But we do wanted to just put a quick plug in so people that are not living at or near where the podcast is, which is very few people. Suffice it to say, the INL is the Idaho National Lab. It has to do with radioactive material, research, and storage.
And he had ingested 15,000 times the amount of radiation in 30 seconds that you get in a lifetime. So he was extremely loaded with radiation. And it was uranium, plutonium, you know, all the heavy stuff. And so the doctors just told him they'd make him comfortable until he died. And so it got into his bone marrow too, and it was mimicking iron. And his levels, his ferritin levels were 700-800 when they were supposed to be 40. So he was on a death sentence. He started drinking our water, And what happened was that his kidneys and his liver's functions went back to normal. And then the ferritin levels, which was mimicking the uranium and plutonium in his bone marrow, started dropping drastically. And week by week, it was dropping 20, 30 points. Till after 6-7 months, there was no sign of radiation whatsoever in his body. No heavy metals left. Dissolved it right out.
Doctors are probably scratching their heads over that one.
Yeah, they have no... they have no... so many people that have drank this water, the doctors have literally classified it as a miracle. You know, they have no explanation for it whatsoever. So they have, on several of them, just officially said, it's a miracle.
Well, so. That's pretty, to get a doctor to say a miracle sometimes is hard
because when they have no explanation, when they've run out of explanations, they just, you know.
So to say that it has a chelating effect is almost an understatement.
Yes, that's a great statement, in fact. Yes, it does. It does. And it's funny, the way it acts is that if you're low on a mineral, somehow the body knows when you drink this water and the levels go up. Or if you're high, then it brings them down to normal. And it's really interesting. We advocate everyone go get a blood test for whatever reason. And they look at their blood levels. And, you know, they give you the middle range where you should be. And this is high and this is low. And what it does, almost every single person we've seen, their blood tests, it brings them right to the middle. I mean, almost right dead in the middle. It's really amazing.
Almost like it's helping your body self-regulate.
Yeah. Your body needs 1 million molecules of water per second to go through every cell. Can you grasp your head around that number? I can't. But 1 million molecules of water is less than the size of a pinhead, right?
Yeah.
And it's extremely small. But every cell in your body needs 1 million molecules of water per second going through it. And it does a couple things. Water reforms itself around a cell and gets a charge. It changes its proton electron distribution, and there's a small charge there around the cell, and then the water flows into the cell carrying this charge with it. And you've heard mitochondria, the mm-hmm. term mitochondria, and how that's the energy of the body.
Yep.
It isn't. The water is the energy of the body. The mitochondria uses that energy to do its chemical reactions. When it doesn't have that, chemical reactions stop. That's why you can only go 2 or 3 days without drinking water before you die. You get dehydrated and all your functions stop. That's why you can go months and months without eating. And most people don't think about that. They think they get all their energy from eating. They don't. They get their energy from drinking water. There's a guy over in India who has not eaten food for like 40 years now. And he lives on a couple drops of water every day.
Wow.
He's skinny, obviously. But he's functional. And that's what he lives on, is water. Well, the energy in your body is created from water, not from food. And because this energy carries into the cell, the mitochondria can then use that energy to do the chemical reactions. If it doesn't have that, then this is what we call disease, is that it doesn't create the proper chemical reactions because the energy aren't there, and it makes off chemical reactions. It might shorten your DNA when it replicates, or it might not be able to have the energy to pull off a magnesium to stick somewhere. And so that's a disease cell. And we actually believe that's how cancer is starting. is that you're not drinking the proper water. Also, part of it is the mitochondria, when it does all these reactions, it then has these junk chemical parts left over. There's a trash can, literally, in the cell. Well, the water flowing out empties the trash can. It pulls those bad chemical reactions out of the cell, which it then goes through your liver and your kidneys, and that's how you dispose of it. And if you don't, if you build those toxins up in the cell, then the cell can rupture, explode, and that's how the tumors start. So if you don't have good water in the first place, you're setting your body up for, we believe, for cancer.
That's really fascinating.
Yeah, water is the energy. You don't have water, you die. And the chemical reactions stop. It's that simple.
So one of the questions I have, sorry, I'm trying to project, is, you know, you got the Brita pitchers, you got the faucet ones that are filtered, you know, and I work up at the university in Rexburg, and they have all these water stations that are filtered, you know,
right,
that you can refill your water bottles, and you know, what are those? You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, you have Davinia on one side, and then you have these other over-the-counter filtered versions. You know, what's the difference between the water on a scale?
I'd say we're at a 10 and they're at a 1. And the reason is because they usually only have a charcoal filter, which will not get living organic materials out. In fact, that's why water is so heavily chlorinated, is that they're trying to kill all the living bacteria and everything else in it. And that's the only way they know to kill it. Although now they have UV, which will kill it, and they have osmosis.
Yeah, reverse osmosis.
Yeah, reverse osmosis, and ozone. And all of those are meant to collect those things. Except, you got to remember, these things are pulling particles out. Not very efficiently, but they pull it out. And they do get clogged up. If I had a Brita filter, I'd probably change it every 2 days, 3 days. They're probably worthless after 2 or 3 days. In fact, I've measured them, and they're kind of worthless right off the bat. They might get some of the chlorine smell out. Might remove one or two other things. There are right now 80,000 chemicals in our water. The FDA only tests for about 91 of them right now. The other 80,000, they do nothing about. And I don't know if you know, but the EPA is now shut down. I don't know if they've passed the spending bill as of this evening.
Yeah, they have.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Good. A little faster this time around.
The EPA's back in. They were going to kill
them. I think they have anyway, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, yeah, they were going to shut down the EPA. The other thing is they have shut down the Clean Water Act. They have negated the Clean Water Act, which means you no longer have to permit to dump anything in our drinking water, which means that any company anywhere in the United States can take whatever they want and dump it in the rivers anywhere. There's no law against it anymore. It used to have to go through a permitting process, and the Army Corps of Engineers would look at it. That's now dead. So these companies now have a free right to pollute whatever they want to our rivers. Also, there's another thing that's now called toilet to tap that's taken on hold in major cities, is where they reprocess toilet water back into drinking water again for people to consume. There was a gal up in Oregon, I think it was last month, that was doing a neti pot. And a neti pot is where you turn steam into and you bring it up. And she got an organism in her nose, a brain-eating organism, and it went straight to her brain and ate her brain and killed her. So the Brita filters and those things don't get rid of that type of stuff. They get rid of a little bit of the chlorine smell. If you go to a more expensive system, they probably function maybe on a level of 2 or 3, but they only function that at that level for a very short time. Then they start going the other way, as they start growing these organisms on them, because they get the filters get clogged up, and then it starts growing bacteria on them, and then it might turn into a -2 or 3 or 4 or 5. Most people don't buy new filters every couple of months, and they should. If you have a reverse osmosis at home, you need to change the filters every 3 months, and the reverse osmosis filters probably once a year to every 2 years. People don't do that. They put that thing in and let it last for a year.
Yeah.
And it actually turns bad on you. You don't want it. Here at Davinia, we stay on top of it. We look at those filters. We change them out as they're needed, because we do testing on them every day. And when we do our Davinia water, we first bring it in. We do water softening because of the later process of reverse osmosis that we do, because you want to remove the calcium and magnesium in those, because it builds up on the RO. So if you don't do that, then your RO goes bad much faster. So after we do that, then we hit it with UV to kill any living organisms so that nothing will grow on the filters downstream. Nobody does that at home or in the labs. Then we start removing the chlorine, the heavy metals, the leads, uranium, plutonium, arsenic, all sorts of heavy metals. And we have it pretty clean before it goes into the reverse osmosis. Then we run it through reverse osmosis. Then we run it through what's called DI, deionized. So if there's any ions in there that's left over, we actually remove that. Then that's stored into stainless steel tanks, so nothing grows on it. Most filters at home use plastic storage tanks, which means those things decay and they grow things on them. So we use stainless steel. Then after that stage, we then do a vapor distillation on it, where we raise the temperature to 300 degrees, we raise the pressure on it, and we do a distillation process on it. So anything that's left at that, when it comes out of our reverse osmosis and we do DI, at that point it's medical grade water. We then do this next step of vapor distillation, which, of course, kills everything. There's just nothing that can live in that water, and everything's been removed. Then that's stored in stainless steel tanks again, and then pumped into our next stage, which is my processors, where we actually change it again. We go through another distillation step, plus we change the molecular spins according to the hydrogen-oxygen bond. We actually go in and realign the spins on it so that we give it more energy. The water has much more energy. It's that energy that destroys plastics, will tear plastics apart. We have to use stainless steel, or we have to use glass at that point. And we have to use the high-grade stainless steel, the 316L. If we use the low-grade stainless steel, it actually will start dissolving that, too, at the same time. It will dissolve minerals, metals, that sort of stuff, which is good for your body because you don't want that stored in your body. We've had several people who have done hair tests. Have you heard of that hair analysis?
Yes.
Okay, where they cut it and then burn it and then see what's left in it, you know, a mass spectrometer. And we've had several people that had heavy metals in their body, and we noticed it decreased rapidly after they started drinking our water. So on a scale, getting back to the original question, ours is at a 10. The Brita filter is maybe 0 to 1. And as you go into your labs and that sort of stuff, I'd say those go up to maybe 3 or 4. the water probably doesn't taste very good because some of their process also takes the oxygen out of it. And those are oxygen starved. We put that oxygen back in through our process. The other thing I told you about heavy water and deuterium, what's called deuterium depleted. We actually remove some of that heavy deuterium. And when we do, we strip it out. So our water is lighter water. And there have been several clinical studies that show the deuterium depleted water is much better. It's much more bioavailable for you. And your body can use it. Remember I told you about this water flowing through your cell? Heavy water can't flow through your cells. Heavy water clogs what's called an aquapore in the inlet into the cell and stops it, and that becomes diseased. Heavy water stops your body functions. You need a million molecules per second of water flowing through every molecule. And when that starts getting clogged up, your cells die and get diseased on it. They don't want magnesium in it. They don't want potassium in it. They don't want arsenic. They don't want uranium. They don't want, you know, everything else that's in it. Your cells want just good old water. Just that's all they want.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we get thirsty, that's what they're asking for. Not.
That's exactly not what.
Usually, what we're giving it to.
That's exactly right. When you get thirsty, that's what your body's saying. And, you know, when you get thirsty, you start getting tired, don't you? You feel a little run down. You get kind of foggy. You don't make the right decisions.
Yeah.
You know?
Interesting correlation there.
Yeah.
Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to describe and go through the mechanics of that, because that really, for me, that helps me wrap my head around why this? Why is this such a great thing? We'll be with this episode, we'll be putting a link to your site. And what's the best way for people listening to get a hold of some of this water?
The best way is to go to our website, www.diviniawater.com. And they can either order online, or they can give a call into here and order some of the water also.
Great. And we didn't get into some of the future plans of the company, but you've reached some really great benchmarks. Could you just really quick kind of talk through the past benchmarks and then kind of where you're headed with things with expansion?
Yes. We started out of our garage with this. And we moved from a garage into another building in Idaho Falls about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And we were in that building for 1 year, and we moved into this building now where we're at 12,000 square feet. We have built the rooms here the same size as the shipping container to make sure our equipment would fit in a shipping container and use it as a prototype for building these things. The next step is to get shipping containers and build our systems into the shipping containers and ship those shipping containers to different cities, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Phoenix, Denver, Miami, New York, wherever it might be, and open up a bottling plant there. That way we use local water. We're not like Nestle's where we go into an area and we take all the water from the people living there and ship it all over the world. We want to use the local water. So instead of getting a glass of tap water that's contaminated, that's probably not good for you, we want you to exchange that same water for a purified water, which would be our water that we feel will help you. And so we wanted to open up all these different branches, these different plants in all the major cities. And we will do local distribution from that center for about a 100 to 200 mile radius so that the people in that area will be able to enjoy the water. So that's the milestone we're shooting for. right now, we have proved the concept that this water works. And by the way, we are going into a clinical study. I don't know if I mentioned that, but we have been approved for a full clinical study that we will be able to tout the benefits of what the water is. Or we'll be able to say, look at the clinical study and you can see what the health benefits are for you. So we're entering that. That's a milestone that we've hit too. And the other milestone is that we're now getting more and more processors up so that we're increasing our production. And we also will have a fully automated bottling line within a month now. In fact, this evening we got a phone call asking when they want it delivered. And it's a bottling line that was tailored to our water so that it's all stainless steel. There's no plastics in the thing. And it's kind of a plant in a box itself. It's that it's all self-contained, self-cleaning, and then all you do is put bottles on one end and out comes the bottled water on the other end. So that's another milestone we'll be hitting here in the next 2 to 3 months that will be fully up and running. We've also changed from a wrap-around plastic label that was applied by hand to we print on the bottle itself right now. And the bottles actually look very nice, I think. They're trying to carry the message that we have for the water. We try to make our bottling labels very simple, very clear. There's no jumping fish or Hawaiian scenes or, you know, stuff that catches your eyes. It's very simple because the water is, we think, very simple, pure. And we want to carry that purity through. And as part of it, our glass is all recyclable. As you probably know, plastic is choking the earth right now from every instance. People are showing it in their feces that every fish in the ocean now has got plastic in it, even from the smallest minnow up to the biggest whale, because of the way that the food chain works. And so they're starting to advise you not to eat fish because of the plastic now. All the cows have now shown that they have plastics in them too. So we're just getting choked by plastic. Ours is made of glass. This glass has about 30% recyclable material in it. Most glass on the face of the earth, 80% of it is recycled. That which is not recycled turns back to sand. In fact, over in Saudi Arabia and some of the other Dubai and those areas, they actually taking the bottles and grinding them up back into sand again and making the beaches out of them. Which is terrific. They got some really pretty colored beaches now. New Zealand, a brewery that bottles in glass, came up with a machine that you plug your bottle back into after you're through drinking it, and it grinds it back into glass and removes the label. And they're rebuilding all their beaches with it now. So if a big storm hits, they got beaches again.
That's pretty neat.
Oh, isn't that neat?
Yeah.
That is really neat. We also helped and talked to the city council here and the mayor about recycling glass, and there's no recycling law for glass in Idaho Falls. What we'd like to do down the stream, if it works out for us, we would like to get one of those machines that recycle in the sand, donate the sand to Idaho Falls, and they can use it for the streets.
Yeah.
And that will reduce the cost of having to go to these pits to dig up sand and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, save a lot of money.
Also
some environmental impact as well.
Yeah.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win on it. So we try to be environmentally conscious, making sure every part of that is recyclable.
Well, that's awesome. Thanks so much for taking the time to run through that. And Thanks for your time today.
Oh, thank you very much. It was very enjoyable.
Yeah, for us as well. Great.
Everybody, we'd just like to say thank you for listening to the show today. We just want to give a big thank you to Stephen and his family at Davinia Water with the tour of their plant, their operations, and sitting down and talking with us about their product and the incredible, really miraculous things that it can do for our bodies. And if you want to find more about Davinia Water, you can reach out to LostRiverLegends.com, find information on our show notes, or you can visit Davinia Water. .com and find more information on how you can buy their products. Also, just a quick plug for our upcoming show after this one. We had a group that had contacted Lost River Legends. They're called LPH, and it's called Little People Hunters. This group is out of Montana, and they are fascinated and have been doing heavy research into a tribe of people that lives in the Pryor Mountains in Montana. So we're going to be sitting down with the founder, Quentin Martinez, and his crew, and discussing the little people of the Pryor Mountains. So join us for that. Also, we just want to say thank you again for our listeners. If you'd like to support Lost River Legends so we can continue to produce high-quality content, you can visit us at patreon.com/LostRiverLegends and sign up and support us that way. And lastly, if you've had an encounter, if you want to be on the show, or if you feel like there's a topic that we have not covered that you would like us to cover, then please email us at lostriverlegends@gmail.com, or you can email us at lostriverlegends@protonmail.com. Either of those formats work for us. And that's going to be it for the show today. We appreciate again the listeners and have a good day. Thank you.